Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
From the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm David Reed. The president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, had the media's support when he was elected 5 years ago. He promised a citizens' revolution that would take advantage of the country's natural resources to lift people out of poverty. But after the election, the left-leaning economist began a running battle with the media while starting his own network of pro-government newspapers and broadcast stations. In recent months, his tactics have become more aggressive, drawing comparisons to Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez. Correa preempts private news broadcasts with anti-media tirades and smears his critics. He's pushed through restrictive laws and filed debilitating defamation lawsuits seeking huge amounts of money and jail sentences. Our guest today on Global Journalist is Summer Harlow, the blog editor for the Knight Center for Journalism in the Americas. The center, based at the University of Texas, is a professional training and outreach program for journalists in Latin America and the Caribbean. Welcome to Global Journalist.
Thank you.
And welcome. You graduated here a while back with a degrees in journalism and Spanish.
Yes, I did. It's been a while, but it was good times.
Yes. And now, Correa insists that he's fighting an elite group of media owners who hold too much power and are acting in their own economic interests rather than the interests of Ecuador's citizens. Let's listen to a bit of his speech at Columbia University's World Leader Forum last year. Correa alleged that critical media outlets in Ecuador and elsewhere in Latin America do not believe in telling what he calls the truth.
Unfortunately, one of the main problems for the development of Latin America is the lack of love for truth. In the media, believe it or not, we are told that we must even tolerate lies on behalf of freedom of speech. This means that they defend lies on behalf of freedom, forgetting that even the gospel says that only the truth shall set you free. We are not intolerant of the media. What we don't tolerate are the lies. And in Latin America, the media lie under the protection of the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech that is reduced to a so-called free press, quotation, which, without ethics or professionalism or adequate social control, is reduced to simple free enterprise, where searching for profit or power, it is the media who decide what information not to tell us and how to tell us this information. In this way, freedom of speech is nothing more than the will of the media owners. It is freedom for them. When defending the interests of these large media outlets, we are not defending freedom of speech or human rights. Actually, the privilege of big businesses.
Now, Summer, I know you're familiar with this speech, and your bloggers have covered what these developments in Ecuador closely.
Yeah.
Is there a media elite that acts in its self-interest?
Well, the media is definitely elite throughout Latin America. Well, not just Latin America, really, even worldwide. But being elite does not necessarily have anything to do with whether or not they are allowed to enjoy freedom of speech, freedom of expression, et cetera. And unfortunately, Correa has really tried to break up any sort of what he considers eliteness. He has pushed through laws. For example, as of this July, any newspaper or media owner who has more than a 6% interest is going to have to divest of any shares in any other companies. And so he thinks that this is a way to sort of break up that eliteness. But again, you know, we have elite media here in the United States. That doesn't necessarily have anything to do with whether or not they're doing their jobs.
And how has the media advocates reacted to the actions in Ecuador?
Well, he has caused quite an outrage. International media organizations, free speech organizations, all have come down on him pretty hard, saying that his anti-press rhetoric is out of hand. He's referred to journalists as ink assassins. He has accused them. Basically, anytime the press there tries to report critically on his administration, then he accuses them of being political actors and saying that, you know, they're trying to replace the rule of law with the rule of opinion. And his belief basically is that, you know, that if you are critical, then somehow that makes you guilty of defamation, guilty of libel. So the different journalist organizations have really, the OAS and the Inter-American Press Association and CPJ, the Committee to Protect Journalists, everybody has been calling for him to, you know, to lay off the journalists, to stop this anti-press rhetoric, because that, they're saying, is contributing to this general hostility throughout the country against media.
And one of the defamation lawsuits seeking $10 million was filed against investigative journalist Juan Carlos Calderon and his co-author of the book El Gran Hermano, The Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Their investigation alleged that companies belonging to the president's older brother improperly received millions of dollars in state contracts for road construction. Mm-hmm. And the El Universo reported yesterday that an appeals court closed the case against the book authors. So that there's some good news there.
There is. The president previously had dismissed the case, but then a court ruled no, that the underlying cause for the case in the first place, the defamation and libel, still stood. So they basically said, no, president, we're not going to accept your dismissal of this case. And that came at the same time that the president also had pardoned other journalists from the newspaper El Universo, who were facing 3 years in prison and $40 million in fines for libel against the president. The thing is that even though the president dismissed the case against the authors of Big Brother and pardoned the journalist from El Universo, he still did so by saying, yes, I'm forgiving, but I'm not forgetting. And if you keep this up, I'm just going to keep filing lawsuits. So whether this doesn't mean that, oh, we're going to suddenly see an improvement in freedom of expression in Ecuador simply because these particular cases were dismissed. At the end of last year, for example, there were 13 cases against journalists brought by Correa alone. So, you know, what happened to all those other cases? Is he going to dismiss those as well? I don't know.
What, now, how is this affecting journalism in Ecuador? Are journalists self-censoring?
Absolutely. Every report that's come out has said exactly that. In fact, we conducted an interview with Sandra Ochoa from El Universo last year, or last fall, I believe. And she is a journalist who the president insulted quite horribly. He called her basically what would translate roughly in English to fat slob. She was interviewing him during a press conference, and she said that he had been dodging question after question, and he wasn't answering them. So then when it came her turn to ask a question, she just said, okay, sir, what do you want me to ask you? Because clearly you're only going to say what you want to say. So tell me what you want me to ask, and I'll ask that, because you're not answering any other question. And then he insulted her and said, no, that's absolutely not true. You journalists just don't know how to ask questions. I'm absolutely answering the questions. All the fault lies with you guys. So she says that the problem is that when this sort of hostility not only creates self-censorship, which is bad for the public and bad for, you know, watchdog journalism, but that it creates sort of revenge on the part of journalists because they want to go after him. I mean, if he's attacking them, they want to attack him. So there is outright hostility, open tension between the media and between the president.
And how is this how it's kind of hard to determine this, but do you have any feel for how the average citizen in Ecuador is reacting or thinking about this?
Well, in terms of the president, he's still very popular. And, you know, there's an election coming up next year. He's, you know, according to all indications, planning on running and most likely would win. He's done a lot of good for the country in terms of social programs and you know, the economy and just bettering things in general. But when it comes to free speech, he just is, that's like his blind spot. He's just completely lacking there, despite the fact that he repeatedly verbally supports the press and over says, yes, we are completely behind a free press. We are behind freedom of expression. But as far as, you know, how the general public views the press, we really haven't, you know, seen too much reaction, I guess, at least on our end here. If I were there, I might have a different view.
Now, let's put this in a little bit of perspective. You know, there's been comparisons to Chavez. And how would you is there a comparison between Correa and Chavez? And how does what's happening in Ecuador compare with some of the other countries in South America?
In terms of the media?
In terms of how the restrictions on the media?
Well, Venezuela, according to Freedom House, is still considered a not free country, while Ecuador, at least last year, was considered partly free, although it was sort of on the cusp. It's about, it'll be interesting to see what happens when the new Freedom House report comes out this year. But the problem with that we see in Venezuela, for example, is that the press is considered a public entity or a public good, which is something that Correa is pushing for. So if that goes through, again, that'll push it more toward less freedom. Also, Venezuela, the president controls most of the media there, and there is little community media. It's either private or state, and we already see that in Ecuador. So it's definitely headed in that direction.
Yeah, I was going to see what you thought about where is this going? What would you do? What's going to happen in Ecuador with this relationship, in your opinion?
It'll be interesting, but unfortunately, I think it's only going to get worse. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, the president said he's forgiving, but he's not forgetting, and that if, you know, they keep this up, whatever that means, he's going to continue to file lawsuits. And not only that, he is still pushing forward with these laws. For example, there's the proposal to create this press council, basically, that would oversee how the media operates. And, you know, the more government regulation that there is, the less freedom of press that you have. Ecuador and Venezuela also have created this working group that has been attacking the OAS's Special Rapporteur for Freedom of Expression. So while he might be dismissing these particular cases or pardoning these particular journalists, he's still going after the person who is dedicated, or the office that is dedicated to ensuring freedom of expression throughout Latin America or throughout South America. And so they're trying, this working group from Ecuador and Venezuela is trying to limit her efficacy, basically, by limiting her funding, by limiting her ability to issue press releases, by limiting her ability to issue reports. They don't want any sort of freedom of expression report to come out that's going to single out countries. They want it to just be region-wide. And, of course, that's because Ecuador and Venezuela continually are singled out in these reports as attacking freedom of expression. And, in fact, Fundamedios, it's an NGO that deals specifically with free press. But, you know, they're sort of enemy number one for the president in Ecuador. They just came out with a report showing that since Correa, in the last 4 years, basically since he's been president, attacks against the press have increased 150%. Now, when I say attacks, I'm not necessarily talking about physical attacks, but including, you know, this judicial persecution, this going after of the journalists in the media, the taking over of the broadcast airwaves. So if we're seeing this 150% increase, there's really no indication that that's going to suddenly stop, that most likely things will probably just get worse.
And there, so the international pressure, I'm sure, will pick up as well. I know the Human Rights Watch said a few months ago that Ecuador should repeal its insult laws, Descato, and all norms that criminalize defamation of public officials and institutions. They they sought to, they're seeking to put pressure using international law. Now, most, isn't it still rare in Latin America for countries to use criminal laws to restrict the media?
No.
Rather than
it's
civil?
It's not really rare. In fact, what we tend to report more on is when countries decriminalize libel. I believe El Salvador decriminalized libel in 2007, and then again in 2010 there were some more, I guess the penal code was changed to reflect that. Mexico has also decriminalized libel, but many countries still, if you offend a government official, you are criminally responsible. The new media laws, the media reform that Correa is trying to push through, part of the problem with that is that not only does it not decriminalize libel, but it makes it even easier for just average citizens to bring lawsuits against the media every time they personally feel offended.
Right. Now, before we continue our discussion, I'd also like to talk a little bit about what the work your center is doing there in Texas. I want to remind everyone that you can view or listen to this program anytime by downloading our podcasts at globaljournalist.org. You can also find interesting articles, photos, and interviews related to our program on our website. So please send us questions or comments via globaljournalists@kbia.org or our Facebook page. And you can also follow us on Twitter at GJJournalist. Now, so tell us a bit about the work you're doing there at the center and how you're helping to improve the practice of journalism in Latin America.
Absolutely. What we do here is we have sort of a various pronged approach. We offer online distance learning training courses for journalists throughout the Americas, Latin America, and the Caribbean. We offer not just these long-term courses, but we also offer webinars, you know, that would just be offered on a Saturday morning for journalists to participate in. We cover everything from, you know, how to better cover elections, how to cover violence, you know, which is especially an issue in Mexico and Central America, how to investigate public officials, how to better use internet technologies, multimedia, and reporting. So we do what we can to improve reporting and professionalism. We also offer conferences. In fact, one of our conferences begins tomorrow. It's the International Symposium on Online Journalism. And then we also offer something that we call the Austin Forum, which is a private event, but we bring in about 50 journalists from throughout the Americas for a couple of days to discuss important issues and to find ways to address whatever the most pertinent topics are. For example, last year we looked at immigration coverage. The year before that we looked at organized crime coverage. This year we're going to focus on journalist safety and protection.
And have you made any efforts with the journalists in Ecuador? Have you had any?
Well, we don't necessarily play an advocacy role. What we do more is in terms of training and awareness. So we regularly conduct interviews with journalists throughout all of the different countries in the Americas. And they also often write as guests, bloggers on our blog, and we always invite that from them because we want their opinion. So, for example, with El Universo being attacked, and then with journalists from Ecuador going before the Inter-American Human Rights Commission to discuss the freedom of expression deterioration in Ecuador, we invited guest blogs from the journalists who attended that commission meeting to tell us how it went and to give us their opinion. So we're constantly getting firsthand information from journalists throughout the Americas.
Right. And let's just ask a few more questions getting back to Ecuador. Now, one development recently is that Fabricio Correa, the Rafael Correa's brother, he's decided to run against his brother in the presidential election.
Yeah.
And he says that the president's efforts to follow in the footsteps of Chavez has betrayed the basic principles of the movement they both founded.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think this is gonna put a make this race a bit more interesting?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. What will eventually happen, though, I honestly have no idea. But I do know that the current president does seem to have a good following. Even if you just look at the attacks against the press and who is doing them, they're either coming from the government or they're coming from his supporters. So, you know, he's got a lot of them out there.
Right. Do you think that his brother has some appeal? I know he's somewhat of an interesting character.
Yes, definitely. Perhaps. I'm actually not familiar enough with him to be able to comment on that.
Okay. Do you think that the pressure from international organizations like Human Rights Watch, the Committee to Protect Journalists, this and other organizations could have an impact, or is it all going to depend on what's the dynamics in Ecuador and as far as how the country's doing?
Well, that pressure has not had an effect yet. Whenever Committee to Protect Journalists comes out with a report, then the president automatically comes out with a response discrediting it. Reporters Without Borders came out with a response or with a recommendations about what Ecuador needs to do to improve their situation, and he immediately responds. And then, you know, with Human Rights Watch, then his response is, oh, well, they get funding from, you know, the United States, et cetera, et cetera. So anytime any international organization attempts to make suggestions or to provide recommendations about how the president could improve the situation, and number one amongst those recommendations always is decriminalize libel, then his response is just always, you know, his back goes up against the wall, and he attacks in return. In fact, when we posted a blog post about his speech at Columbia University last fall, we immediately got attacked by, I believe it was the Ecuadorian embassy here in the United States, saying, oh, you weren't there, you don't know, the press is out to get him, and so are you. So the government clearly does not tolerate any sort of critical reporting whatsoever.
And some of these countries that have decriminalized, have they, do you know what instigated that?
What instigated it?
Like in El Salvador.
Probably just the fact that that's the way the world is headed, or the way the press is headed, and that there is a general belief among honest-to-goodness, true supporters of a free press that decriminalizing libel is, you know, fundamental for a free press. Every international journalist organization and free speech organization and freedom of expression organization stands by that tenet. So I think the countries are just coming to realize that, you know, that's what they have to do because a free press is fundamental for a democracy.
Right. And I know that Venezuela is a growing, and Cuba are both allies with Korea. But some of the other countries in the region have different positions on what Ecuador is doing. Could there be pressure from neighboring countries to help the situation there for journalists?
You would think. Unfortunately, what we've seen so far is that countries like Colombia and Brazil have been fairly quiet in terms of the government. However, their media has come out in support of the media in Ecuador. In fact, the column that Emilio Palacio wrote that landed him, you know, with a part of a $40 million lawsuit and 3 years in prison sentence, that, in fact, that led him to seek asylum in the United States. He's still waiting on to hear about that. But that column that he wrote, newspapers throughout the Americas recently reran that column in support of the journalists in Ecuador and saying, you know, the situation there has got to change. So we're seeing the media and the press come out in favor of the journalists who are suffering in Ecuador, but we really haven't seen the governments per se weigh in on it.
Right. The case, Emilio Polizio, he was a columnist who was also the editorial page editor, and he accused the president of giving troops permission to open fire on a hospital during a police uprising in September 2010.
Yes.
And the paper's three owners and the newspaper were fined $42 million, and four men were sentenced to 3 years each in prison. Palacio has what he said about this case was that, quote, you need to live as a refugee to understand it. I have a seven-year-old, and suddenly I have to tell him we have to go to another country, and he has to leave his friends and learn a language he doesn't know. I'm 58, and I have to start my career from zero.
Yeah.
Compared to the fight for democracy in Arab countries, my struggle is probably insignificant, but it doesn't stop being painful and terrible. So it's really a tough case for
it is.
For him. And have you if any of your people talked with him or report?
No, we haven't. But again, that case has been pardoned. So whether or not he still moves forward with his asylum petition, we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Right. So I think that we've come to the end of this week's edition of Global Journalist. It's produced by the Reynolds Journalism Institute and Missouri School of Journalism. Joining us today from Texas was Summer Harlow, blog editor for the Knight Center for Journalism in the Americas. Summer, this has been an interesting conversation, and I hope that things improve for journalists in Ecuador, and appreciate the you guys shining a light on the activities there in South America and the Caribbean.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate this.
You're welcome. Now, Global Journalist is directed by Travis McMillan, audio by Pat Akers. Raymond Tungakar is our executive producer. Camille Phillips was our lead producer, assisted by Eric Stazak and Alex Baumstark. Now, stay with us for a free press watch and join us again next week for another Global Journalist. I'm David Reed.
And now, Free Press Watch, a segment on Global Journalist where each week we bring you a rundown of major events affecting press freedom around the world. I'm Lainey Mullen. Today's news comes from the Committee to Protect Journalists, Lebanon's The Daily Star, and Reporters Without Borders. Exiled Cuban journalists in Spain suffer from lack of support and funding. Of 20 journalists released from Cuban prisons since 2010, four remain in Spain and some without work. Last month, one journalist committed suicide. The coup in Guinea-Bissau last week caused a temporary blackout of local news. Afterward, the military monitored local media, threatened journalists, and stopped media centers from publishing information about protests in the capital. A journalist in Lebanon escaped death last week when unidentified attackers fired at his car. Mustafa Jaha was not harmed, but the attack hit close to home. In 1992, Jaha's father, journalist Mustafa Jaha, was shot and killed. For more information on these and other events affecting press freedom around the world, please visit our website at globaljournalist.org. Thank you for joining us this week on Global Journalist. I'm Lainey Mullen. See you next week.